You're listening to GGR Pirate Radio. Don't be a juice bag.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gamer Den, brought to you by the Great Geek Refuge. My name is Jess.
And I am the opaque Senator Russ. At the Gamer Den, we chat about all things gaming, whether it's current, retro, our favorites, your favorites, and everything in between. Be our guest, be our guest. It's time for gaming quests. There we
Whoa.
Go.
Whoa.
Maybe I will be the...
Maybe, yeah, maybe I'll, you need to right. write the jingle.
Maybe I need to write the jingle for the podcast. That'd be pretty funny. I could do the lyrics. Maybe that's what I'll do. Maybe I'll do the lyrics to what we can do and like have like a general thing and then maybe like a chiptune-y version of like an established song and I might be able to make it. Anyway. Hello, everybody. I'm hoping that beginning intro part makes it into the podcast today. But all right, everybody. Hey, how we doing today? So we got this is the first time. So congratulations to us. I'm gonna give us some self congratulations to Jess and the Opaque Senator here because this is the first week after we're doing the podcast. We're no longer doing this bi-weekly. So you guys have just heard us last week. And you will now hear us this week, and you're going to hear us weekly from now on. So I hope you guys are excited for that as much as we are. So anyway, what do we got on deck for you today? Well, this week's going to be our news story week, and obviously we'll get into some of our gaming endeavors in the last week. But talking today, League of Legends, Wild Rift added some new content for Season 6, including some new champions. I'm also going to delve into the comments made by Blizzard's new boss, Mike Ybarra, because obviously they've been in the news for lots of not very good things, which we've alluded to in some things recently. But I'm just going to react to an article I read about some of his comments. Jess is going to talk about something again that we'd mentioned again. I think it was two casts ago, but a gaming series she's very excited about coming back. They released some news on that, and then we also saw something really interesting with the Final Fantasy 14. There's a particular server on Final Fantasy 14, and I think it's really cool what the players are doing with it. So I think we're gonna get into that as well. But first, I think it'd be kind of cool if we start off with our gaming endeavors. And Jess, we were talking a little bit before we started recording, and you haven't been video gaming as much, but you've been doing a different kind of game. You want to tell our loyal listeners what's been going on?
Yeah, so I'm actually prepping to DM my first D&D campaign. Woo-hoo! And I know, I'm so excited. I've played campaigns, obviously, as a playable character, but I've never DM'd, and I am quickly learning that I knew, like, a lot went into it. Like, there was no part of me that was like, oh, that would be easy to do, but, like, I quickly learned there is more than I thought that there was to this.
Yeah.
I thought it would be kind of like a choose your own adventure game. Where,
but little,
like,
did you know?
No, it's like build your own choose your own adventure.
So again, I have very limited experience with D&D. Actually, you know the D&D I played, there was actually a Dungeons and Dragons game for in television. It was one of the first games I have memory of myself playing, and it obviously was not what we're talking about as far as D&D right now. but that's always my initial thought, is was beating that as like a 4-year-old and being like, hey, I like this gaming thing. I could probably go back. That's probably like my earliest gaming memory
where it all started.
Either that or falling down the pits of Pitfall, because I like the sound that the dude made whenever he fell. So, I mean, you know, there's gaming. There's a gaming historian information for you. But yeah, like, so a game like Minecraft, you know, it's the quintessential sandbox game. You can create and do kind of whatever you want in there, but even in that, there are, you know, rules, and then there are items, and there are things that you could use, and you have as like starting blocks to do this stuff. D&D, I mean, yeah, you can do that, but like you don't have to.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's so open and so interesting and completely, you know, in your mind and in the minds of the people that you're playing with, and dependent upon the minds and the experiences of the people you're playing with. I am excited to hear how your first foray into being a DM goes, because that is something that would be way too stressful and too time consuming for me to even consider, like, doing.
Right, like you had talked about like character creation, and I was like, okay, our first session is just going to be character creation for everyone, because a majority of the people who are playing have never played D&D before. So I was like, I know that this is going to be like a process. And I like told everyone, I was like, everybody needs to keep in mind that this is a very novice group. So this is going to be a very slow moving campaign. Like, this is like the action will be there, but like, keep in mind that people might have questions that need to be answered and everything. And of course, everybody's very nice about it. Character creation did not complete in one set. We were working on character creation for about three and a half hours, and we are still not done. So this Sunday is character creation part two. So then hopefully by the end of Sunday, we will be done building characters and ready to actually start the campaign. But that gives me more time to hash out my stuff, so I'm not complaining.
I mean, so I just think about myself like in Elden Ring or in Dark Souls or Oblivion or all of these games that I've played over time, Skyrim. I spend, even on that character creation, even some of the more limited character creation things I've done, like, I could spend an hour or two just being like, what should I make my dude or dudette? should I make them, should they be an Argonian? Should they be, should they be pale? Should they be tan? Should they be in, like, I mean, there's like, you know, what characteristics should they have? Do I want to build something completely from scratch? Do I want to have them have some of their shit together? Like, even in Elden Ring, again, I've done this a bunch of times, and I was just trying to get right into the game. It still took me an hour to do my character creation, because I'm like, well, but what if I want to do magic later, and then I already did this, but I don't want to start over again. And
that's
like stressful.
I will say, my group of players, I feel like they already had a preconceived idea of what class and race they wanted to be. I feel like they looked into it a little bit before, because they were pretty decided when they got, which is why we don't have very, very many options for healing in our group. But you know what? They'll learn the hard way.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. I guess you could always build something in there. Maybe you can have almost like one of those classic RPGs or something like that, where you have like certain areas you go to where there are you have like a healing.
Yeah, I think that I'm going to give. I think at the beginning of the campaign, I'm gonna have them find one like consumable healing like potion or something along those lines, so that everybody has one. You get one, everyone gets one. But the biggest thing, so we're, I don't know if I already said this, we're running Curse of Strahd, which is like a horror vampire campaign, which is so cool. And
noticing a theme with you, Jess.
I know. I think that the biggest takeaway that, because I've been doing so much research, I've been on the Reddit threads, I've been on YouTube, I've been on the D&D websites and like just everywhere, is a lot of them are like, you are going to want to take it easy on your players, but don't, like, let them know from the beginning, this is like a horror campaign, they need to be scared. Like, don't hold back with the monsters, don't hold back on your rolls, like, don't fudge the roll thing just to make the monster easier for them. Like, they need to be scared that they're gonna die at any moment. And I'm like, oh god. Okay, I guess.
Oh man, that's, yeah, I mean, that's, well, I mean, it's kind of how it should be, right? I mean,
yeah. I am gonna feel so bad if / when somebody dies.
I mean, But again, that's part of the game. That's part of the
fun. I know. But then it's like I have to announce it to everyone. You like it's embarrassing. Like you what, you die in front of everybody? Humiliating. Could never be me.
That's actually one of my favorite memes as far as like the D&D goes. They have like that classic I can't even remember where the meme comes from. It's the old guy with the dice and he's explaining like something, and it's a Star Trek themed one, and it's you come upon the pool of like muck basically, and it's Tasha Yar, and it's like, well, okay, whatever, I'll go around it, and it's a dice roll, it's a one.
Yeah.
And because she dies by the pile of muck, basically, it comes to life, it kills her. And then it cuts to the last screen is Denise, whatever her name was, that played Tasha Yar. Her name's crossed out of the Star Trek credits. And I'm like, this is amazing.
I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but I guess I took on that burden when I decided to be a DM. So
it's your cross to bear now.
It is.
But it's like, again, yeah, it's like there's a couple of video games like that too, where like you get one life to live, you don't get to come back, and whatever you achieve in that one life, that's what you go with.
So, right.
No save points. There's no, you have to do this all in one shot, and good luck, buddy.
There was, so I also looked it up on TikTok. I said, I've been on every corner of the internet, just like looking up as much as I can. And somebody posted a TikTok and it said, when I'm up until 5 a.m. writing my D&D session just for my players to turn the villain, a literal god, into a potted plant using wild magic and beat him to death. And I sent it to our group chat and I was like, this is literally, like, I could see this being all of you. Like, that's it's not going to happen, but they turned him into a potted plant.
What is the... So you've obviously played quite a bit of D&D, it sounds like. What is the funniest thing that's happened to you in a game of D&D that you've played?
See, I'll be honest, I don't have, like, super funny things that have happened. I think I've played with I will say the last campaign that I played was in 2017, and it was... Or 2016, and it was like online, but we weren't even on video. And it was pretty boring, and we didn't finish it, probably for that reason.
At that point, you're basically a text adventure. It's like Shadowgate.
Right, exactly. And then before that, I had mostly played in like middle school. And even that, there's nothing that sticks out to me that's been super funny. Except I did, again, watch another YouTube video where there was a scene of, they might have been playing Curse of Strahd, I'm not sure, but like a vampire temptress was being alluring, and the DM meant to say that she was like sending shivers, or like there, she said like, you can feel shivers. And instead, she accidentally said, you can feel shitters. And everyone was like, they were all so into like the original, and then everybody broke character, like everybody was dying. But like, see, like things like that haven't happened. I think that
did they die of dysentery?
They might. What if I put dysentery in my campaign?
You need to. That's hilarious. See, this is the thing that I think that you could do that you didn't have in your campaign. You could make funny things happen. I think that's
right. That's what I was about to say. And I think that also, like, being full grown adults and all playing in person, like, I think that it leaves more room for shenanigans.
Shitanigans.
Exactly.
Oh my god, that's how did nobody make that joke? That is so dang funny.
I want to now. She said, what
shitters,
if I...
and they all died of dysentery.
What if I just switched my entire, what if everyone's like preparing for this like haunted vampire campaign? What if they came in and I was like, I'm actually changing it to an Oregon Trail campaign?
I mean, you could put elements of that in there, I think. I feel
you definitely could, but I feel like I would be I'd be disappointed. Is the Listen, thing. Like, I'd be like, what do you mean, Oregon Trail?
I think here's what I'm going to offer my services to you. If you're coming to a point where you're having difficulty making something funny, I feel like I can be that guy that can be like I could be like the advisor that you come to make this like the campaign. Mm-hmm. I'm not creative enough to like come up with something like completely from scratch and like here's the thing. But I am very good at editing and fixing something or seeing something and be like, you know what would be really funny though? If you add, this is great and I would never have thought of this, but if you add this to it, it's going to be even better. And people are like, whoa, mind blown. Like,
yeah.
Or shit blown. I mean, I don't know. that's amazing.
But what about you? Are you playing Sonic still? Are you?
I did. So I finished Sonic 3 and Knuckles, as I said I was going to, starting from the end and working my way forward, right backward, I should say. So one of the things that I had never done before in Sonic 3 and Knuckles, I'd never gone for Hypersonic before. I don't think you've played any of the classic Sonic games. I think we've talked about it before, but. Sonic, if you collect all 7 Chaos Emeralds, gets the ability to turn into Super Sonic, which basically makes him invulnerable. Like typically, like, things like spikes would hurt him or kill him if he doesn't have any rings. But he gets faster. His spikes, everything about him turns like yellow. He looks like he basically turns Super Saiyan. He gets stronger and faster and all that kind of stuff. Still dies to bottomless pits, and he becomes a little harder to control and all that stuff. So like. In when you combine Sonic 3 and with Sonic and Knuckles to have the complete third game, you could just get Super Sonic in each game individually. But if you combine the two games, once you get past what would have been the main campaign of Sonic 3 and it turns into like the Sonic and Knuckles part, Sonic comes upon Knuckles and he's in this like secret cavern thing, and you hop down, and if you collected all of the Chaos Emeralds, you give them all back at the beginning of that campaign, and then you can go for what are the super emeralds. And if you collect all 7 super emeralds, you become Hypersonic, who's... There's a reason why I never did it before. I never really saw the point, because, like, it's basically just Supersonic, only he does, like, a... Kind of like... It looks like a screen nuke. He can, like... If he jumps, you can, like, kind of, like, flash everything out, basically. And he's even more sparkly and all that. And it's fine. Like, but it was a challenge, but I never really saw the point of taking the challenge. I'm like, well, I could just skip all the rings and just keep Super Sonic for the whole thing. And then you could still unlock the only by having at least Super Sonic, but if not Hypersonic, can you get to the final part of Doomsday Zone at the end of the game and actually complete the game. So, but you could do that with Super Sonic. You didn't need Hypersonic. So I finally was like, you know what? I've never done this in all the years I've been playing this game. Why don't I finally get Hypersonic or see if I can even do it and figure it out? And it was fun because I had to like re-explore some of the levels and like find the big rings in like the second half of the game because I never did it. I never had to do it before.
Right.
I just kind of skipped past that whenever I played the games together. And typically if I just played Sonic and Knuckles, I would play as Knuckles. And again, not as big. If you just played Sonic and Knuckles myself, you couldn't get the super emeralds. So, I did it with that intent in mind, and I succeeded, and I beat the game. So I was excited. I could still play Sonic 3 and Knuckles, and I got Hypersonic and completed the game, and I was, you know, it was fun. I will say that I finally got to listen to the level themes that I guess were replacing the ones they couldn't use for the copyrighted stuff from Sonic.
Oh, right.
I will say they are not very good, the stuff they replaced.
I was expecting that to go in a different direction. I thought you were going to be like, I will say they're not that bad, but no.
I was actually like, if you listen, like the first one I noticed was Carnival Night Zone in Sonic 3. Like that one, Ice Cap Zone, which I knew Ice Cap Zone would be one of the ones they had to change. Because again, that song is just Hard Times by the Jetsons.
Right.
Which is, again, a great song and a great theme for that level, but... And they also replaced Launch Base Zone, the music in that. All three of those worlds where I was not a fan of the music that was playing, which is so sad for a Sonic game. The rest of it all was like just like the old game, and it was fine, and it sounded great. But I was like, huh, now I see why they were like having trouble and not wanting to port. I'm like, man, you gotta just kind of find someone who knows what they're doing for that. Like, get like T-Lopes on that shit and have him like redo this. Like, that's he's the one who did it for Mania, and Mania sounded great. So, yeah, that was fun. And then I've been playing, I've been doing my usual Yu-Gi-Oh and StarCraft again. I've actually been kind of dedicated a little bit more time to StarCraft. I want to kind of get good at the game again. I've been playing a lot of co-op mode, and I finally am now using a new champ or a new general for that, a new commander for that. Which has been kind of fun to try to like, because you get like good with something, and then like, well, the thing that I was doing for a while, they were called mutation missions. Basically, like you play like there's like, I think there's 15 co-op missions you can do. And I usually make it random so I can get like, you know, extra points and experience stuff. And so what they do with the mutation missions is they add like basically multipliers or like special challenges to make that mission harder. Because usually by the time you're doing those, you're good enough to do mutation missions. Like, you're pretty good at the game. So, right. You're pretty good at the levels, and you kind of know what you're supposed to do. So, I'd been doing that as a challenge now for a while. And some of the mutations are not too bad. Last 2 weeks actually weren't too bad at all. But there are some weeks where they are just dang impossible. Like, I don't know how people beat them. And I'll watch YouTube videos of people do it. I'm like, you guys are nuts, man. I don't know how you do this, but, so yeah, I mean, those were kind of the three main things I was playing. The Steam Summer Sale is still going on, by the way, folks. I that wasn't in my news thing. I think it'll probably be actually over, I think, by the time this podcast comes out. So I hope if you guys took advantage of that, I hope you guys got some fun, good games. But
and if you didn't, too bad.
I know. Well, here's my thing. I spent so much money at too many games this year, as I detailed in the last cast. I'm like on life support this week. I'm like eating Nutri-Grain bars and being like, yeah, I need to like not eat out at all this week, and this is hard. And so again, by the time this comes out, I will have been paid, and I'll be back to my ways. But I was like, man, this is like, I should have like planned better probably, but you know.
Yeah, that is me today, deciding whether or not I should spend my last dollars on Taco Bell. And as you know, because I messaged you, I did choose to get Taco Bell. So
listen, Taco Bell will always win. You can't fight it. Speaking of dysentery, don't fight it. Just let it all come out, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like that Taco Bell really missed the mark whenever they, like, for people that are getting like the colonoscopies. I mean, if you want to clear yourself out, like, that's like that's the way.
I actually don't have any issues with Taco Bell like that.
Have you adapted to it?
I don't know, maybe. The same thing, but like everybody is kind of like how everybody is lactose intolerant all of a sudden. Like, everyone's like, I can't have milk or cheese or I'm going to shit my brains out. Like, not me. I'm over here drinking 2% milk every single day of my life. I love me some chalky milk, some strawberry milk. Like, oh, you will not catch me slipping.
Listen, we have this in common. I love, like, I pretty much drink a glass of chocolate milk almost every night before I go to bed. Like, I do that instead of like alcohol. I love milk. I'm not even a big milk person. Like, I drink it. Like, I don't have a problem with milk. I prefer other stuff. But, like, I don't know. There's something about just having, like, that, like, at the end of the night. I don't know what it is. Like, it like, relaxes me. I don't know. I have to have, like, a glass of water after, too, because otherwise I wake up dehydrated. But, like,
I'm like, you wake up with a crusty milk mustache.
I have to balance out my chocolate milk intake with my water intake apparently now because I'm old, but this is the thing you have to worry about when you get on the wrong side of 30 people. So just be aware, you know, and I'm not even sitting here drinking alcohol. I'm a little chocolate milk. Like, come on. Although I will say sometimes I throw a little Kahlua in there. It's pretty good, but add a little coffee liqueur in there and not like you're getting a huge buzz off it, but it feels good. It feels good going down. all right, look, we are really good at getting this off the rails. I'm a fan. So I want to start with you on news stories. So you kind of, I think you're talking about your DMing and the theme for your for your dungeon mastering here is pretty on point with Lollipop Chainsaw, isn't it?
Kind of, yeah. Well, Lollipop Chainsaw is more zombies, but still horror, I guess. Yeah.
Oh, there's not zombies in that game? I thought there were zombies in Lollipop Chainsaw.
I think I have the option to throw in some zombies, but this one, it's mostly like vampires.
Got it.
But still dark, still, you know, on brand. But yes, Lollipop Chainsaw remake. So I think when we talked about it before, it wasn't like nobody really knew if it was going to be a remake, if it was going to be a sequel, kind of what, maybe a prequel, like no idea what it was going to be. But it has been announced that it's expected to release in 2023 and it is a remake. So,
nice.
Yes, I've seen that there are a few, kind of like back and forth debates about the game, pretty much for the exact reason that we talked about, where I was like, that's this dumb blonde in a skimpy cheerleader outfit slaying zombies, and I love that, but like, there are a bunch of comments that like, this is a different world that we live in today than when it was released back then, which was 10 years ago.
Which is kind of crazy to think about.
I know. And they're like, I'm scared that it's going to be censored, but then some people are like, ugh, this is gross, and like, you know, how the internet can be. But I am very, very excited. I was actually thinking about getting a Lollipop Chainsaw poster for my office. So
do they have any on display? I think you should get a Lollipop Chainsaw.
Ooh, yeah. I probably should. Yeah. If they do, I will. If not, I'll find one somewhere else. but there's really no other information released. We don't know what systems it's going to be on. We don't know exactly when in 2023. We have no other information about it. But obviously, as more information comes out, we will talk about it here. But as of right now, I'm super excited.
Hey, you know, the other one you could do if you don't do display it is I talked on about some of the stuff I bought from Too Many Games. There's a, well, I have almost a full complete wall now from these canvas prints, like game covers and stuff, which is done by Canvas Quest, basically, which you can find them on Twitter. I highly recommend checking them out because they have some, again, very reasonably priced stuff, and I think he does commissions. So I'm going to give him a shout out because I've been literally every year I've bought like anywhere between 3 and 6 of his prints to hang up on my wall, and I now have almost 3/4 of it taken care of at this point. And I love how my apartment looks right now. I think I shared a picture with you as well, and I've shared it on my Twitter and such for folks. But give him a shout out too, because buy his stuff. He's pretty pretty cool stuff there. also lots of like dragon, he has like a bunch of Dragon Warrior themed stuff too, which makes me excited. Like, I never
they
see
have it on display.
Oh, do they?
Yes.
Nice. There you go. I think you have your next wall art for your
yes space. thank you display.
Oh goodness. So great. I'm very excited. I think it's a good thing they're doing a remake and not like a redo, because I think that would, I just have a funny feeling they would just screw it up if they did, right. If they like continued or did. I think, you know what too, like they could really do something really good with that, with the remake. Cause like there's a lot, like we talked about a couple podcasts ago when they first announced that news, I think there's something that people can find themselves in that heroine, you know.
Yeah,
they can find, they like, there is not every, just like not every like dude hero has to look like Superman, you know, not every female hero has to look like Wonder Woman, like,
right, exactly.
Or apparently Natalie Portman is Thor, like what you know, like there's a lot of shapes and sizes that heroes can come in. And they've definitely explored that in the sense with guys and kids and all that, but I don't know if they've done that as well with women. And I think that'd be a pretty cool, easy game to kind of be like, hey, this could be a hero. Let's put it in there. Like, okay. I think that'd be great personally, but, I want to lead off next too with, so I used to be a pretty avid League of Legends player. I did see some news that, I think, I think it's season 6 is coming out now, which I feel like they should be a lot. I feel like it's been a lot longer that I play League of Legends than it's being in season 6 or for Wild Rift, excuse me, League of Legends Wild Rift. But I guess I'm not as much time has passed as I think it has. But they did add, they are adding 3 new champions. Kassadin, Samira, and Sion are going to be added, and they're adding a crap ton of skins for the champions. So they have a lot of that. So they announced that as well, which I thought was pretty good. And that's the, and again, Wild Rift's the mobile game. So it's not like
The last time I played League of Legends, I want to say it's like 2011.
Oh, wow.
11 years ago.
Is it, wow, 2011 was 11 years ago. Man, you just like blew my mind there.
I know. It hurt my feelings.
There's another meme I saw not too long ago, and it was from Dragon Ball Super, and it's Frieza, and it's like, 2050 is now closer than 1990, and it's like Frieza sees that in the distance and turns around. And he's like, I'm gonna ignore that.
yeah. Don't like that.
I'm like, I don't like that at all.
I hate it actually.
Slow march of time, man. It's not all that dang slow. So, yeah. I think I played a little bit of Wild Rift, but I don't think I liked it very much personally. But
yeah,
and I enjoyed the original. I enjoyed regular League of Legends, but
I would too if it wasn't one of the most toxic fan base on Earth.
Not gonna disagree with that one. That's actually one of the things that got me out of it.
I think we talked about it a little bit with Uncle Silver.
Yeah, we did. You are correct. Not to rehash all that again. But,
re-traumatize our listeners.
Or re-anger the ones that actually still play League of Legends. So.
Right.
I like the game and the mechanics and all that, but
it is
difficult when, you know. Well, the other thing too was like, so, like, one of the things I really like about StarCraft is, like, you're either good at the game or you're not. You know, there's not too much middle ground for that one. And they do a pretty good job of, like, putting you in, like, into the right, like, leagues and such. I feel like it is so hard to get, like, when I mainly did, like, the 5v5 map. I felt like it was so difficult to get 5 players that all knew what they were doing on both teams. Like, there's always that, like, one terrible player on the orb, and typically I think everybody says this too, you always had like 2 or 3 on your team, you know, it was like you and like one other person that's like trying to carry the load, and you're like, why is nobody doing anything right now, please? I just want to have like an even game where you're like, it's everybody's doing well, and we have to, like, you know, it's all about who gets that best kill or whoever gets that, you know, who can get who was smarter in their strategy, who got the wipe, you know, whatever. But that's the other thing that, like, I guess that's one of the things that kicks me out of a lot of games, I guess, now that I think about this, is that's also why I kind of stopped playing World of Warcraft, is like, okay, I didn't mind leveling a ton, but like, I never wanted to like level up another character and go through all that again. To me, it was just, okay, I want to get to the end of that patches or that expansion's content and start doing raids and dungeons and stuff, like, effectively. Right. And then I just felt like you could just never get a good team. Like, you could never get a complete team that, like, everybody knew what they were doing. And, like, even if you tried to, like, hop on with guilds and such, like, you might be doing that for years before you finally find the group that's like, hey, I know, we got this, you know?
And right.
Not that people can't play the game for fun or, like, I mean, there's a lot of ways to do that.
No fun is allowed, actually, in any video game.
No, absolutely not. But, like, you know, if you're... My thing was this. I didn't like devoting 2 to 4 hours into something or more sometimes.
Right.
And then you get to the end of that time frame and you've accomplished nothing.
Right.
And not because of anything even you did. You know, there's other people that either didn't show up or didn't show up on time and, you know, forgot disconnected, and you're just sitting there like, and then you're just sitting there waiting. Like, why am I waiting right now? I could be doing a million other things right now. Why am I waiting? So anyway, let's see, what else do we have here? I also thought this story about Final Fantasy XIV was super interesting. So I'm actually just going to, it's a pretty short article, so I'm just going to read it to our audience. try to skim where I can here, but Final Fantasy XIV players are blocking access to notorious roleplay server with a character barricade. So basically, it's a human wall of players in this game that are blocking other players off from visiting this server. It's called Balmung. They're waiting for a new patch to come out, patch 6.8. And I guess it's going to allow players to visit other worlds, basically. And people have been doing this in other servers to check out, like, see what the players are like and figure out what's going, you know, figure out where they might want to, you know, migrate to or check out. But they can't go to this one called Balmung, because when you arrive, there's a lot of people that are just blocking to be able to get into the world. It's a non-savory thing that happens in this place. Again, I do not play Final Fantasy XIV. I do not understand what's happening. I just found this hilarious that I guess it gets a little erotic or something like that, which, again, I don't know how that stuff works in game. So, I mean, hey, that's your thing, man. Go for it. I don't judge. But, like,
wait,
I guess...
So, like, they're online, they are? I was picturing, like, real people standing outside of a building, but that's not what this is. This is,
no,
like...
No, there's basically, like, people are, I guess, logging into the game, and so the server, and there's too many people in the server, and you can't, like, get into, like, the actual, like, completely get into, like, the world where the server's app, where the server's done, because, I don't know if they're trying to keep it for themselves, or, like, prevent people from, like, being able to check it out for, like, altruistic reasons. So I just found this article interesting. It was on...
It's bizarre. It seems like there's not a good reason for them to be doing that.
Yeah, like, I've been reading this, and I have a bunch of friends that play Final Fantasy XIV. I read the article, and I'm kind of like, okay, so what is happening on this server, and what does this mean? Like, but I saw the article, and I'm like, what are they blocking them from? Why are they blocking them from going into the server? I'm like... Oh, well, that's interesting. So, okay. okay then.
There's always something happening in the gaming world.
I mean, yeah, I know, like, in a lot of games, like, even, like, WoW and stuff, like, you can, like, I know, like, in a lot of these games, you can have, like, you know, you could get married to, like, other characters and players and do all kinds of cool stuff like that. And you can get erotic, apparently, in a lot of this stuff. I mean, hey, again, that's your thing, man, girl, go for it. Not going to judge you, but... apparently there's a whole server full of that stuff going on, and there are literally like the chains of people preventing people from driving down highways. This is literally happening in game for this server, you know, which I think is kind of crazy and interesting to be, to be out there. So, yeah, so that's a thing. That's a thing that's happening in the game world as well. And then, yeah, I don't know if I do. We have anything more to say about that? Have you ever played Final Fantasy XIV?
No, So I don't really have any. I don't know what the hell they're doing in there.
I don't know. I think it's probably better that we don't. Oh my goodness! No, I have a bunch of friends that were trying to get me to do that, and from what I understand, it's basically another WoW style game, but, like, everyone tells me it's much better than WoW. Like, like, servers and everything are better, and, like, they're the gameplay mechanics, and you don't have to install, like, a million different add-ons just to make the game playable. And I know people that basically the time that I spend playing StarCraft and you spend playing Mario Kart, they spend even more time than that doing Final Fantasy XIV and, like I said, and raiding and all that kind of stuff. And I'm almost afraid to do it, because even though I have a lot of friends playing it, I feel like I might get addicted, and I might need to, like, you know, have that talk at 6 months across. Why are you sitting in the thing playing 40 hours a week in this game when you should be, you know, going to work or going out dancing or doing the things that you used to do with your life? And I'm trying to prevent myself from falling into the habit, because that's what WoW did to me for a while. Now, I wasn't, like, the guy growing, like, the beard and, like, not showering. But, like, again, you spend, like, you get into this stuff, and you really want to, like, actually accomplish something in these games. And, right. Like, it's very difficult to do that. So, to get, like, teamwork. I like teamwork in games, but, like, people need to be kind of on a similar skill level, I think, to be able to really enjoy it. But Anyway, so I've not played it, but I just thought that story was really hilarious and interesting. And I'm just like, I figured I'd bring it up to the podcast and see what people, let me know what you guys think. Any of you play Final Fantasy 14? I'm kind of curious to see where, what is happening and what I'm missing from this story. Cause I just think it's hilarious. and then there wasn't much else as far as news stories that were coming on. I was reading a story about the global gaming market as well, that they're predicting that it's going to be hitting a downturn, which, okay, like, everybody's predicting everything's hitting a downturn in the next bit, but, like, I don't know, I'm not sure I agree with that either, because I think a lot of people have been hard at work, like, with games during COVID, and I think a lot of COVID kind of slowed things down with that, so I feel like that, some people that really utilize that time to start games or start getting through stuff. And like now I think we're going to start seeing especially the bigger titles. Like I think that's why we're seeing so many big title games being announced and whatnot, is because these guys have all this time to like figure out what they're doing with themselves. You know, the indie developers have had their time and there's been some really cool indie games coming out. But I think the AAA developers and a lot of the bigger guys out there are going to be doing more. So I read that one too. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't think we need to worry doom and gloom. I don't think we're going to see just like we did with the collapse of Atari. I don't think we're going to be seeing anything quite on that scale. I think this is just too big at this point to fail. especially with the loot box games. And I mean, most people have so much to play and, you know, want to keep getting into stuff. So I think it's going to be fine. Did you have any other stories that you were eyeballing or?
No. There, honestly, I think that we're going to find this a lot with the weekly episodes. And it is something that we kind of talked about a little bit last week. It's just that, you know, not too much happens in one. I mean, some weeks are going to be more eventful than others.
Yeah, 2 weeks does give you more time to go over new stuff, because more stuff happens over the course of 2 weeks versus one, which I think is why I think it's good that I think that's why I kind of want to make. And then, and for those of you listening, we're going to focus more on the new stuff kind of every other week. And then we'll try to have other stuff in between, so it isn't all. And again, unless if something big major breaks, of course, we'll bring it to you. We'll be the last week tonight of the gaming news. It's like, nope, we just do it the following Monday.
And yes.
We'll talk about what happened that previous time. And, you know, it'll be a little late, but we'll get there.
I love that for us.
So we're going to be the last week tonight of gaming news. So
perfect.
The only other thing that I was going to talk a bit about is because, again, if I am a Blizzard, I've grown up on a lot of Blizzard games. I'm a StarCraft person. I saw an article talking with the newer head of Blizzard, Mike Ybarra, addressing company culture, microtransactions, future projects, how he's trying to kind of turn the company around from a lot of the crap that was happening. I was reading a lot of that too. I think the big thing lately that happened, for those that have not been following Blizzard, so Diablo Immortal had come out, and one of the big problems was microtransactions. And to be able to do the things you want to do in the game was apparently going to be exorbitantly expensive. For people to be able to like play the game and do the things there and get the items and stuff they want to do for Diablo Immortal. So apparently he addressed some stuff with that.
Did you know how much money they had brought in?
I did not see the total, no.
They apparently are bringing in over $1 million per day in microtransactions.
It's insane.
It's unnecessary.
Well, again, like, so people have been playing Diablo 2 now. Those games have been out for so long, and people have been able to play those games without having to do that. And now we're, again, the age that we're in, we have to nickel and dime everything anymore. So
right, but they made $49 million in earnings in just the first 30 days of it coming out. $49 million. Oh my god.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
It's almost like not disheartening, but it just kind of sucks. Like, for me, like, I play Pokemon Go, and, like, even that game, like, I just wish that we could just get our full games. And I just want a full game.
I'll spend $80 on a full game. Just give me a complete game.
Like, right.
I don't even to that point.
And, like, maybe, like, that's fine. Have add-ons that people can buy, but, like, don't make it. And I hate, like, the quote-unquote, like, free-to-play when it's, like, sure, it's free-to-play if I want the worst gaming experience on the face of the planet. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. We've definitely had our, we've talked about that on the podcast as well, I know before, yeah. But I mean, I think we're just seeing, again, we're seeing it again, and I'm very saddened by Blizzard. I really am. Like, I was reading a bit of the article, and it sounds like the guy might be trying. I don't know. I'm just very skeptical of that. And I do play StarCraft, but, like, I also don't spend any money on StarCraft. The game is, again, basically being run by by the pros, and like again, they kind of gave it back to the community. So, like,
right.
I mean, they're not spending much money to, like, we're basically just costing them money at this point. So, like, yeah, I don't know.
Hopefully, good things to come, but
yeah, I know
we don't have our hopes up very high.
I just hope they clean it up. But, like, I mean, just seeing what they're doing with Diablo. Yeah, I'm very, very worried about that company and what they're doing. And I, you know, it sucks because they've been responsible. So Activision and Blizzard have been responsible for a lot of, like, classic video games, like,
right,
going all the way back, like, going right back to the, like, late 80s, early 90s with Activision especially. But, like, yeah, I just don't like seeing the company that I've been, you know, I have historically put a lot of money into, and seeing, like, how that stuff's been going, I'm not thrilled. So, do better, Blizzard. Make me stop doing what everybody else is doing, and you know. And again, I say that, and then WoW was heavily criticized for a long time because they wouldn't update their the way they do the game, and they were still doing, like, a monthly subscription. That's not something people do anymore. And
yeah, I mean, it definitely is a double-edged sword, but yeah. I think that a lot of, like, indie developers get it.
Yeah.
And these big companies are looking for money. I mean, that goes for all big corporations. They want money, and they're going to find a way to get as much money as they can for as little work as possible. Yeah. And that's kind of what it seems like is happening. So
I think that's pretty accurate indeed. Yeah. So next week, we'll have, if there's anything.
Uh-oh. I forgot, actually, there is an announcement that I was very excited about. Let me just, I just want to make sure that I get this game name correct. There was a game that's been in development called Stray. Have you heard of this?
I've not.
So, Stray is about you play as a stray cat. And I am so excited.
It's an untitled cat game instead of untitled goose game.
Right. So it is called Stray. Lost and alone, separated from family, a stray cat must untangle an ancient mystery to escape a long forgotten cyber city and find their way home.
Oh, cyberpunk cat game.
Yes, it is. That's actually exact. I looked up steampunk cat game because I couldn't the name of it. But this has been in development for so long, and the announced release date is July 19th. So it is coming this month. It's going to be on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, and Microsoft Windows. And I'm very excited.
Okay, I'm intrigued by this. I won't be able to afford it for the next couple of months, but I'm the Tiger King right now. I'm never going to financially recover from too many games.
right. Good news is for everybody who did not go to too many games.
Too bad. So sad.
It is. it is only $26.99, so it's not going to be like a $60 game.
Well, I hope a Stray Cat game wouldn't be $60. So
it is beautiful.
Oh yeah?
Yes, not the cat. Well, maybe the cat. I don't know. But the game itself, the gameplay that I've seen has just been remarkable. So
I'm gonna have to check us out. I want to see what it's all about.
Yeah, it's like a third person camera angle. They're like neon lit alleys. It's like in the cyber city, and you can roam around like a cat. Like you can jump around on things and be mischievous. And
see, I feel like that stuff's pretty cool. I don't know if they're ever going to top I Am Bread, though, for that. You get to be a piece of bread and you somehow find a way to travel through kitchens and crap. I just feel like that is the ultimate in Stray experience. I feel like if you are bread and you're trying to not become moldy and terrible.
I will say this game, it is more like not to say that I Am Bread is not a legitimate game, but this
hey
game,
now be careful like, with what you're about to say. We're gonna alienate some podcast folks here.
No. I also love Goat Simulator, so if you haven't played that, it is hysterical. But this is like a very well developed I don't think it's meant to be like a silly game.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
I 100% get what you're saying. No, I think that'll be pretty. I was more making a joke, honestly. So I wasn't trying to actually be serious.
I actually love that game. To me, I feel like it works the same part of my brain that does like puzzle games, and I love puzzle games, even though it's just like nonsense. Except Goat Simulator, that one's just hysterical.
Goat Simulator. I have actually not played it, but I've seen people play it, and. Yes, it's hilarious. Well, everyone, I hope you enjoyed our time together. This was the Gamer Den, part of the Great Geek Refuge. I am the opaque Senator Russ. And when life gives you lemons, don't make lemonade. Make life take those lemons back.
And I'm Jess. Our princess is in our next podcast. We'll see you then.
Oh, that was perfect. Yeah.
Yay! We did it!